This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, what's happening? Big show tonight, today. Let's go. TK and Tierney coming to you from our studios around the country. The Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Hope everybody's doing well. Week three tonight, a little football, Jags in Miami, a little Gardner Minshew, maybe a little Tua, unlikely, but you never know. But obviously, Teague, we have the emergence of a postseason star, a young buck who does not know that he's probably not supposed to be doing this.
Yeah, man.
And that would be young Tyler Herro, who continues to attack the rim and splash triples and remains fearless in the pursuit of a championship. Tyler Herro last night was actually historically phenomenal.
Yeah, for a rookie to perform that way, and with it seemed effortless the way that he just did whatever he wanted to do. I don't know if you follow. I don't know what the handle is on Instagram, but it just pops up because I've watched so many of these videos. It's like Ball is Life or something like that, and it's Tyler Herro when he was in high school, and how all of these teams would like chant at him like overrated. You know, when you're a highly recruited kid, you go to an opposing gym, the students just crush you. And then he goes out and he drops like 45 on him, and they show like all of his scores, like all of like crossing over guys, getting rebounds, rejecting kids at the rim, you know, step backs, hitting threes. It's ridiculous. Like he's, and there's like six of them. And so I've been watching this for the last, I don't know, day, you know, 18 hours over the last 18 hours, just watching him do these things in high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at Kentucky, I don't remember him being this, you know what I mean? I don't remember him being this type of player. But when I go back and watch the high school version of Tyler Herro, mm-hmm. I'm seeing exactly what I'm seeing with the Miami Heat. It's almost like at Kentucky, he was putting a little bit of a, I don't know, a box, you know, over on the
side. Got to share the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not himself. In the NBA, he's able to be the Tyler Herro that I think people saw him when he was, you know, 17 and 18 are seeing. And he is fun as hell to watch because for a young man, he doesn't look intimidated by the stage of the Eastern Conference Finals.
He's got all the skills here. You know, listen, I said historically a great night, 37 points Eastern Conference Finals. You know, that's the most points by a rookie in a playoff game since Andrew Toney.
Wow.
I've referenced Andrew Toney a couple of times. Now, he was on the 83 championship team for the Sixers, but Andrew did it in 81, and then Toney had all these ankle and foot issues and really was, I mean, was on the precipice of an all-time career. Instead, he's kind of one of these, man, if you caught Andrew Toney, you know, but if you didn't, you don't. And Tyler Herro, I was rewatching the game before the show. I was in my office at NBA.com. The NBA TV was rolling it back, right? And I'm watching it again, and I'm like, all right, first quarter, his first field goal attempt. And this is a little subtle thing. This is what I love about a Herro. First attempt is with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter, three-point miss left side. Immediately, next shot he takes, which is about a minute and 5 seconds later, not long, he attacks the rim, right, on a short pull-up. Good. So, you know, he's not trying to, like, ease himself in and just, you know, be the prototypical shooter.
Yeah.
You know, he clanks one to start, boom, attacks the rim. Next bucket, 30 seconds later, drive right side, off the window, good. You know, I'm trying to come up with a player comp for him. And you look at the skill set, the way he runs off screens. I see a little Reggie Miller. I see a little Ray Allen. He's obviously a good athlete. Not great, but good. He creates. He's got a handle. He's fearless. He's got a motor. I don't have the perfect player comp, and maybe there isn't one.
No,
but
there probably isn't.
Good.
He, you know, and it's interesting that you brought up like his first miss, which was a 3-point shot. You know, a lot of shooters that are good, and he's been really good. What did he shoot 50% today or last night from 3-point range? A lot of the shooters like that, they'll just keep shooting 3-point shots. You know what I mean? They'll just keep saying, eventually I'm going to find one, right? Eventually it's going to knock down, and then I'm going to get into my rhythm. Instead, what he does is he goes and finds a shot that he knows he can make, and that gets him into his rhythm. But that's like, not everybody has that ability to do those type of things. And so to see Tyler Hero perform the way that he did, it was fun, because that's not, I don't know who you said the X factor was going to be.
Robinson.
Duncan Robinson.
I just mixed my white guys up.
Yeah, right. You missed. It's funny because Duncan Robinson took a shot. I was like, dude, that was a bad shot by Tyler Hero. And it actually wasn't Tyler Hero. It was Duncan Robinson. But I didn't think that Tyler Hero was going to be that important, because at the end of the day, if he doesn't have that day, a historic day for a rookie in that situation, the Heat might lose that game despite how poorly the Boston Celtics play. Jason Tatum, who we talked about needing to be able to step into this moment, didn't score a bucket in the first half, BT, but they still almost came. They took the lead in the fourth quarter. They still almost came back and found a way to win. So without Tyler Hero, I mean, that was the X factor for the Heat, was Tyler Hero. One that we didn't mention, but clearly the Heat know what they have in that kid.
I went back, and that's all Pat Riley right there. I went back and I looked at the some of the player comps, which obviously don't match now, but for some of the draft websites that I usually use to prepare for the draft, there's two that I really lean on that I respect. And one of them had his player comp is Nick Stauskas. And the other one had his player comp as Joe Harris. Now listen,
Nick Stauskas.
Yeah, from Michigan.
No, I mean, don't see that.
No, neither do I. But I'll be honest, I see a little more Nick Stauskas than I do Joe Harris. Joe Harris is a great shooter, but he's just not the athlete. He's not the creator that Tyler Hero is. You know, it really is amazing how these young guys in all the sports, you know, remember Soto in the World Series with the Nationals, just – that kid's 20 years old. He's acting like he's Mickey Mantle. Tyler Hero with a couple of OGs on the team saying, you know what? It's my time. I'm dropping almost 40 in a pivotal game. We're going up 3-1. I think I know what I attribute it to. It's just more intense competition, less regional competition as a kid. Is, you know, if you've obviously got that talent, you know, you got to start playing in tournaments across the country and maybe even across the world, depending upon the sport. And you just, you know, you're immersed in this this deeper talent pool than, say, you know, if you're coming up at the 70s, 80s, or even in the 90s, where, all right, best kid in his high school, all right, you know, all state, and then you kind of get out of the state, it's like, wow, it's the woods, it's pretty deep out there. These kids are fearless, man. Not all of them, but Tyler Hero, all the platitudes we want to drop off at his doorstep, and he's earned every one, because we all know he can shoot. To me, it's fearlessness. He is not afraid to shoot, and I love that about this kid.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and it comes from, I think, a lot of things. Just maybe his upbringing, Kentucky, Jimmy Butler being on the squad, a really good coach and great coach, really, and Eric Spoelstra, who gives him the freedom to do what he's doing. You know, you got to laud him. It's fun. And now that I, you know, look at this series up 3-1, and Boston on the other side of the equation here, BT, we talked about, you know, how Gordon Hayward could be a catalyst here, or Marcus Smart with the emotion that he showed after their game 2 loss. They looked lost last night. Like, no one was knocking down shots. They got really ISO heavy. There was no go-to player, and that person is supposed to be Jason Tatum, and it wasn't. And you know, not until the second half, where he played really great in the second half, but you can't spot good teams like the Celtics did, and Jason Tatum in particular with his non-efforts, non-scoring efforts, I should say. He actually was a pretty good assister, but his non-scoring efforts, you're not winning good games if you don't show up in the first half of the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's true. And listen.
And I want to laud the kid off, because I love him. We all love him. But you can't have a no-show in the first half of the Eastern Conference Finals.
That goes without saying. I mean, you can't have a no-show in the quarterfinals. I mean, listen, if you're that player, I mean, we've had conversations on the show, you know, has Jason Tatum hit the back end of a top 10 NBA player? I mean, Donut, you got to slide back 4, 5, 6 slots, at least temporarily. Now, really, what will define, and hey, of course, he had a big second half, but what will really define, you know, that kind of not even lackluster, completely invisible first half. Really, I want to see Tatum going to the bucket in the next game. You know, like Tyler Hero, I said his first shot was a 3-point miss, and then the next three shots he took roll at the rim attacking. I want to see Jason Tatum get to the free throw line. Now, listen, if he's wide open, you know, on the first or second possession, all right, you feel your toes are behind the line, let it go. But I want to see him put the onus on the refs, force him to blow the whistle, kind of, you know, get within the feel of the game differently. Because when you hit a three or even a pull-up, that's great. You know, you're going to have that good vibe and that bounce. But when you get to the rim and you get a couple of cheapies, you know, even if it's not a dunk, but you just beat the defense and you lay one in, or you get the end one, or you get fouled and you splash a couple of free throws, it's different messaging. It's a more aggressive, more assertive Tatum, and there's too many fluctuations with that. I still love the kid. Love him. Not selling him, but he's got to answer. And, Teague, this has been a great series. The first game was, what, 3 points in overtime?
Mm-hmm.
Miami wins that. Game two, which was a week ago from tonight, 5 points, but Miami wins that one. Then it was, I think game three was double figures,
yeah.
10 or 11 or so. And then last night, which was all sorts of seesaw in the fourth quarter. So, and then they get to the Lakers and the Nuggets tonight, 9 Eastern TNT. Hey, if the Lakers win this series and the Heat win this series, I don't know if the Lakers are beating the Heat.
Yeah, look, the Heat are for real. We've talked a lot about, you know, the grit that they have and how it just feels like they're so multiple. They can do so many different things, and it's different people. Like, they needed Tyler Hero to play that way last night. Otherwise, they might not win, despite how bad the Celtics are playing, just as you were alluded to, BT. But Tyler Hero stepped up, and it's interesting because for so long, really, last 3 years, it's like, where is Jimmy Butler going to fit? Like, where is he going to find his home? And I think Miami might be that place, whether it's just the right atmosphere, the right coach, or more importantly, the right type of players around him. Jimmy Butler, after the game, was talking about the heroics of Tyler Hero.
Not too many people get an opportunity to make it this far in the playoffs and to be in a game like this. But for him, it's another day at the office, and I think it makes all of us smile. We're also happy for him because he knows what he's capable of, and he just plays with so much confidence, and he's been doing it all year long. So to him, there's no pressure or anything. He's just going to keep playing basketball the right way.
Then that's
Did you guys think he was capable of this?
Yeah, without a doubt. We know anybody on our roster that they're capable of that. It was his time. I hope it's his time the next game as well. It could be Duncan. I hope it's Duncan. It could be Bam. It could be anybody. But he definitely willed us to a victory tonight.
Now, that's respect. Coming from Jimmy Butler for a young kid and Tyler Hero, that's respect. But I think the part at the end is telling to what we're alluding to here, BT. Jimmy Butler, this Heat squad, they have faith that anybody could step up and be that person on whatever given day. And sometimes it'll be Jimmy, because Jimmy is, you know, he's ruthless.
Yeah.
I mean, we know how he is. But some days when, I don't know, the game plan calls for him to be taken out by the other team, by the Celtics in this case, somebody else has to step up. And it's sometimes the unconventional guys, a rookie in his first postseason in the, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals does what Tyler Hero did. That's awesome. And Jimmy Butler appreciates it, and that's respect. You know, Tyler Hero's he's got to be, you know, feeling himself right now.
Oh, you
sure
think? He was, you know, you were watching some stuff. I got down a bit of a Tyler Hero rabbit hole as well, as I said, you know, going back to see some of the old scouting reports and where he was positioned pre-draft, where he might get slotted, you know. And one thing I saw, and I don't recall this actually seeing this when he was at Kentucky, but he's on the free throw line. I don't know if it was an N1 or if it was before the first of two, or if it was after the one, and then he was getting ready for the two, because it was just a little snippet. But whomever they're playing, the jersey's even blocked out. I can only see the other players, like the back of his neck. And he looks at the guy, he goes, "I'm a bucket, man. I'm a bucket, man. And he just smiled at him. I'm a bucket, man. What do you want? What I do? I'm a bucket.
That's awesome.
I get buckets.
That's awesome. And that's how he is. Yeah. Again, BT, I go back to these Instagram videos that I was watching of him in high school. This was this kid. Like what I saw last night is the same kid who he was, what, 4 years ago or 3 years ago when he was in high school. He just smiles in the face of the taunts from these opponents in the crowd and these high school gyms and just drops dimes on them over and over and over again. I mean, if you knew that, then you're not surprised by this. Maybe we just, as basketball society, didn't pay close enough attention, but this kid is good. And he's not great yet because he's got to do it year over year and in big moments. And this, obviously he did it last night. But if he gets to the NBA Finals, if he does it in those moments, Tyler Hero might be an instant star because he's got the confidence and the ability to score when he needs to.
Well, listen, I'm just gonna lay it out the way it is. There's. You might be, there are, and there have been, and there will continue to be some, 7 foot guys. And I'm talking about the 7 foot white guy who might be a little low. I'm talking about guys who go to college, right? Out of high school, a little over recruited, good size, good projectability. Look, he's a good passer like Jokic. You're not a 6'5" white kid who's getting over recruited to Kentucky. If you're 6 foot five. And you're white, and you're 185 pounds, you are a superstar.
Yeah.
There's just no other way to put it.
Yeah. We're just seeing it for the first time on a major stage. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And here's the other thing, too, and I know we got a break here, and we'll get more into Tatum coming up. But there's two, and you touched on the stuff with Jimmy Butler. There's two aspects, and you can't underrate this because I don't know that every franchise would allow these two things to occur. Number one, the coach has to grant a young player like Tyler Hero the latitude to do this.
Great point.
Number two, and this is the Butler stuff, the best player and the vets have to trust you. And the way they trust you is you earn that trust in practice. It's a two-pronged thing. The coach has to call your number, and the vets have to let it happen. And he's earned it, man. And he was phenomenal last night.
Yeah, he was. It was great. It was great. It was cool.
All right. So let's get a little bit more to Tatum. I know we touched on Jason Tatum earlier. A donut in the first half. A donut. It's just, that's inconceivable. The way that you breathe on somebody, it's a foul. How do you have no point? I don't care. Even if you're like the fifth best player on the court and you play, decent minutes. Zero.
Agreed. And by the way, we can't say that he's inexperienced in this situation. Because remember 2 years, not last year, but two seasons ago when Kyrie was still there, but he was hurt. They, as a young, like super young squad, got to the Eastern Conference or got to the semis and against the it was the 76ers. Remember, so they had been deep in the postseason before. So he knows what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. He's just not doing it, man.
No doubt. We'll try to probe into why, come up with some answers here. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up this hour as well. Emmett Smith. We got the great Emmett Smith who was on with us about maybe a month or so, maybe 3 weeks, whatever it was. But Emmett's back in the house today, do a little Cowboys and bounce around the league. Brady Quinn of CBS Sports HQ. He's a colleague, former first-round pick out of the Irish back in the day. And great cutting up the film. What's he seeing with some of the young quarterbacks? What's he seeing with guys like Breeze and Brady? If there's any regression or erosion, certainly in Breeze's case. So we'll get to it all. Gardner Minshew tonight. Maybe we get a little cameo from Tua, but we're talking about Tatum and the Celtics who are on the brink of being bounced by Miami. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Right now, GEICO offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. No TV today, by the way. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, radio.com, Apple iTunes, Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. But we're not on the tube today. So if the plan is to DVR the show, if you're at work now or whatever, catch some of the show on TV when you get in. Not going to happen today. Back to usual setup tomorrow, full 3 hours on TV. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Conventional affiliates and radio.com, all the apps, CBS Sports Radio. Go for it that way. Emmett Smith, Brady Quinn next hour, week three NFL tonight. All right, let's get back to Jason Tatum here. So, you know, one of the things, especially now, it wasn't always this way, but it's been like this for a while, where there's a quick elevation and then there's a rapid takedown. You know, we thrust you probably a little ahead of the line prematurely, and then we're probably a little early in the takedown. We're not doing that to Jason Tatum because Jason Tatum's terrific. Here's what I worry about, though, with Jason. Just turned 22 a couple of months ago. There's no doubt he's going to come out and answer the critics and fire away probably incessantly in the first quarter in the next game. I just hope that he's not too aggressive. And when you're that young and you're facing the criticism, and he deserves it from last night's donut in the first half, Teak, you could try to do too much, and if he does, series is over.
Yeah, that's right, BT. I think that, you know, Jason Tatum knows that when he's being taken away, because it's happened to him throughout his entire life. So when he's getting taken away, he's got to try to be a better facilitator. He's got to, you know, get his other guys in rhythm. You see LeBron James do this all the time. You know, sometimes he'll have a great game and only score 15 points, right? So Jason Tatum has to know that that's also a role that he's got to take on. But in the Eastern Conference Finals, BT, so you just have to be aggressive. And, you know, you said this earlier, he didn't score any points. Like, didn't get any fouls. Like, he didn't, like, where was he deficient? And what you could see from watching it is he was being very passive, almost like he was waiting for someone else to take the initiative and be the aggressor on his team, whether that was Kemba or never really Jaylen Brown. That's not really his role. But like, who was it going to be? Was it Marcus Smart? But Marcus Smart kept launching him from downtown, and he just couldn't knock him in. And so that's when it's incumbent upon the guy, because Jason Tatum's the guy. I don't care how good, you know, Smart is on any given day or Kemba Walker is on any given day. Jason Tatum has to be your star in moments like when you're playing as bad as the Celtics were. And he just wasn't aggressive. He didn't attack. He didn't try to get fouled. He didn't do all these things that help get a shooter or a scorer into a rhythm. And as a result, it took to the second half and it was almost too late.
Can we drop a little bit of Brad Stevens' doorstep, maybe?
Oh, dude, hell yeah.
Let's go.
Absolutely, BT. I mean, Brad Stevens, you didn't have to call him out in the huddle, but he's got to pull him to the side and be like, Jay, I need you to, like, you know, take over here. You know what I mean?
Wake up, man.
And it just never happened. I mean, maybe it happened at halftime, but it should have happened, you know, midway through the first TV timeout. That's when it should have happened, because we know how this Heat team plays. If you let them just go dominate, they're going to go dominate. They're not going to, you know, take a second chance to let you go catch your breath.
You know, agreed with that for sure. I wonder how much of, you know, I don't attribute it to this, but I can't prove it that it's not a little influential. You know, think about the implosion in the locker room between the Celtics. And I know that Jason Tatum wasn't involved in that, but the residue from that, Marcus Smart coming out, jacking up shots, despite not hitting many. I don't know. Is there some negative carryover from that?
You know, there might be. I didn't think about that because I felt like that got solved is the wrong word, but I felt like that got sorted out. You know, so in game three, you know, Gordon Hayward came back and he was a smart catalyst to a lot of the things that happened. Good things that happened for them as they beat the Heat. So I felt like that got sorted out. But I mean, maybe there's something lingering. But, you know, the interesting thing is that you started to hear the narrative and the conversation around the Celtics team after this loss last night. You know, maybe they need more of Marcus Smart being, you know, an ass, you know, yelling and screaming and getting them hyped up. Maybe they needed that to, you know, find the energy. Because think about this team. I mean, other than Marcus Smart, who's your high energy guy? Right, because Tatum's not right. He's got a passiveness to him. Kemba Walker is, you know, I guess he has not really. I don't see him as a high energy, you know, get all excited.
I don't see that either.
Right, yeah. Jaylen Brown definitely is not. He's like the, you know, the He's like the politician. You know what I mean? So I don't see where the energy comes from on this team unless it comes from the play itself. Gordon Hayward's not that guy. So who is it? And so maybe they do need another Marcus Smart outburst and get some energy when they are playing as sluggishly as they did in that first half.
Well, let's hear from Tatum as he self-assesses. Obviously not good enough, not assertive enough, and this has to end. Here's Tatum on the invisible first half.
I wasn't aggressive enough. I didn't score in the first half. That's unacceptable. So, I know I had to play better. And that's what I tried to do. They played better than us in the first half. And, in the second half, we picked it up, but they were already in a rhythm and feeling good about themselves. A lot of guys over there made a number of good plays, and it was tough to come back from.
I want to circle back to, what I said, and I don't even know if I'm fully prepared, because I can't prove it anyway, if there's any residue from the blow-up with Smart and Brown. But you think about their relatively passive nature. And Tiki just ran through all the guys. I mean, Gordon Hayward doesn't say a whole lot. Tatum,
nope.
Think of like some of the NBA stars of the past. I mean, I don't think they'd be that soft-spoken if they just dropped a donut in a pivotal game in the conference finals. I mean, Jason Tatum is just very, monotone and just very, very calm, even when things were miserable.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, Smart is kind of jacked up the room. Like when Marcus Smart is on and it's working, it's an incredible positive. But Jaylen Brown is more introspective. He's not an overt, he's not a shouter.
That's right.
I wonder if
the coach certainly isn't.
No,
either.
He's definitely not. And I wonder if it's just kind of hitting the locker room the wrong way now and guys are withdrawn a little bit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like, certain people, and this, BT, because you played in the playgrounds in Brooklyn and you had friends that were knuckleheads that you were teammates with and on, in college or high school and college baseball, right?
They're still knuckleheads.
Yeah, exactly. But some of those guys, you yell at them and they get right back in your face, right? And it's like, now we're on,
Yep.
And now we're going. It's like a football mentality. You go yell at somebody just to get them pissed off so that they go play hard. Certain guys, and these guys as well, you go yell at them and they like shrink.
Correct.
Right? They go into a shell a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And getting those kind of guys out of their shell again is not easy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's almost like you gotta rebuild the confidence that is there that they just shrink from it sometimes.
Yes.
Maybe. I mean,
yes.
I didn't think about it in that regard, but maybe that is the case. Mm-hmm. It might be, BT.
And it's amplified when the team you're going against is the exact opposite.
That's right. Every guy. Tyler Hero is a rookie, and he plays with like this high energy and confidence and cockiness. Jimmy Butler certainly is that way.
Out of Bayou, definitely.
Bam is that way.
Pat Riley's got an energy for that. It's just different.
Yeah, I hear you. And so and especially, and we can't discount this. They've been in the bubble now 78 days, something like that.
I'm not sure, but it's been a while.
Dude, they've been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, these guys obviously want to win a championship, but it gets distracting when you're isolated like that. So we don't talk about it enough, I don't think.
But I see, but then but everybody's dealing with the same stuff.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. So if your personality is naturally calm, you know what I mean?
And I see. The bubble just makes it a little worse.
Yeah, because
you fall into
you fall into this malaise.
You
nothing's lifting you.
That's true.
You're gonna go watch, I don't know, like Aladdin or something. I mean, seriously, like what are you doing to get yourself out of whatever like you feel?
Could be.
I mean, so and the Heat don't have that because they're just. It seems like there's a natural energy, and that it showed, man. It showed like it clear as day in the first half of game four last night.
All right, some good NBA stuff there. We'll get to the Lakers and the Nuggets a little bit later. Emmitt Smith, Brady Quinn, hour two. Right now we've got the update. Akin coming up after that, inbounds, out of bounds. Somebody won the Cy Young last night, perhaps. We'll tell you about that. That's on the menu, but Ak's update right now. Here's Rich. All right, Emmitt Smith coming up next hour. Talk with the Hall of Fame running back, little Cowboys, bounce around the league a little bit. Some of the young bucks doing their thing, toting a rock. We've got Brady Quinn to hit all the quarterback issues week 3 tonight. as Gardner Minshew and the Jaguars trying to get win number two, Dolphins trying to get win number one. It's coming at some point here, Teak. I've said it a few times. Maybe this is the night we get a little cameo from Tua. I don't really expect it, but would you be stunned if we saw Tua for a little bit tonight?
Yeah, I probably would, because Ryan Fitzpatrick played terrible in week one, but he actually played really well in week two. Now, his completion percentages are all the same. He's always around a 66%, 65, 64, something like that, percentage completion percentage. But it's the interceptions in week one that were a doomsday against the New England Patriots. Now, the New England Patriots have a really good defense. He didn't throw any interceptions last week against the Buffalo Bills, who also have a really good defense. And they had a chance in that game all the way to the end. They lost by a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan played significantly better in week two than he did in week one. And, you know, unless he implodes, I don't see the reason for Tua to play yet. I still think they're worried a little bit about this hip, BT.
Maybe.
There's no issue. There's no, like, overt issue. It's healthy. He's healed.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't have to push him out there, I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't expect to see him either, but you never know. I mean, you don't want to start 0-3, and Minshew mania seems to be a little real. Something will hit coming up in hour three, just how legit is Gardner Minshew? And by the way, the Jaguars' offense is pretty interesting. So
it is.
We'll get to that. A lot of things to hit. Get us on Twitter at Teak and Tierney. Right now, though, a little inbounds, out of bounds. You ready to roll, Teak?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
We start with the Chargers here, Teak. Now, we learned yesterday Tyrod Taylor's last-minute scratch from Sunday's game was due to the team. And Tiki was all over this, by the way. Just before we even got the confirmation, you strongly surmised that it may have been something like this. Was due to the team doctor accidentally puncturing his lung during a routine injection in Taylor's rib cage. So, the NFLPA is now investigating the matter. But insiders report that, according to the CBA, once a player accepts medical attention from a team doctor, he cannot sue.
Hmm.
So, in or out, players should be allowed to take action against team doctors if they screw up a procedure.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna stay out of bounds of this, BT, because I think all players are used to routine things like this. Now, if it's a doctor doing, you know, reconstruction, and he completely destroys your knee and you're no longer able to perform, I get it. The doctor is probably exempt from that exception within the NFL bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
But something as routine as getting a shot, and this is what I speculated, BT, is like, you get Toradol shots. These guys do it all the time, or cortisone, or whatever it may be, just so you numb yourself if you have a little bit of a crack or a fracture, and you go about it. Who knows why this happened, how you puncture a lung, but it's not hard to imagine how it did happen. A little tiny slip, right? A little, you know, little push too far into the, because think where it was. Talking about the rib cage now. There's not a lot of meat there. You can cause some serious damage. So I'm going to say out of bounds of this, because I think for the most part this doesn't happen. It's just a bad accident.
Yeah, I mean, one hundredth of an inch can make a big difference.
That's exactly right.
You know, T, before I had back surgery, I had a couple of injections.
Yeah, I remember those.
Remember those?
Yeah.
A lot of people have dealt with this. You try to, you know, fend off back surgery as long as you can. You know, and a couple times it worked, a couple of times it didn't, whatever. But the point is, I had to sign a waiver. Like, you know, God forbid if this hits the wrong thing, there's the very slight chance of paralysis. I mean, there are things that when needles begin probing certain areas, you're not going to be paralyzed with the rib, but the puncturing of the lung is not that far away, so I get it. You know, I would like to know, does this include the inability to sue gross? I don't think it does, but I want to make sure. Gross, like negligence or failure to identify an injury.
That's probably excluded. Like, I think they're the extreme cases. Even if you sign a waiver, you're still able to pursue legal action, especially if it's harmful to your career.
Okay. I'm gonna say inbounds, though. And I'm gonna say inbounds for this reason, because if it's, you know, if it's not anything with substance, it will be thrown out. You won't win. And I think that hopefully common sense would apply whomever rules on this, an independent arbiter, whatever it might be. But I would at least the player to have the option of pursuing, some sort of legal recourse.
Yeah, it would
be so much
that's opening Pandora's box.
It
man.
Is, but we always talk about the players and their lack of rights or their lack, guaranteed contracts, and they get kind of screwed. Now you can't sue a doctor if he messes you up.
Yeah,
I need to have that wiggle room just in case, God forbid, something really goes wrong.
True, I hear you.
That's all.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teek, last week the Kings hired a new GM. His name is Monty McNair. Yesterday, McNair spoke to the media about second-year man Luke Walton, head coach, of course. Here's McNair.
As I've gotten to know him the last few days, we've had some good conversations. I've heard great things, and so far I think we've had a great rapport. Luke's going to be our coach next year. I'm really excited to work with him, and I think we're aligned on our vision, and we're going to start implementing it.
There you go. Walton, 31-41 with the Kings a year ago, 98-148. That's 98 up, 148 down in 3 years at the helm for the Lakers, including just 37 wins last year with LeBron, who missed a lot of games, obviously, but whatever. In or out, we have seen enough of Luke Walton to tell that he's not a game-changing NBA head coach.
I'm going to say out of bounds there because, he was really good with the Golden State Warriors in Steve Kerr's stead. The year with the Lakers, 1 year with the Lakers, they were abysmal. This roster was just bad and young. And then when you get LeBron doesn't play for 40 games or whatever it was. So I think there's too many inconsistencies in the resume.
Yep.
But not enough for me to say that he's not a viable NBA head coach. I'm going to say out of bounds.
But it's not viable. It's a game-changing NBA head coach.
Well, yeah, even more so. Even more so. He missed 27 games, LeBron did.
Understood. I'm going to say the answer to that is inbounds. If Mike framed it, we've seen enough of Luke Walton to tell that he's not a competent or viable head coach, then I'd say that's out of bounds. But a game-changing NBA head coach? If you're game-changing, there's elements of innovation that are foreign. Like, you're doing things that you just really haven't seen much of.
Yeah.
And that
what is he, 2 years in Sacramento?
No, 3 years.
Is it three?
And with the Lakers. No, I'm sorry. 3 years with the Lakers, 2 years with the Kings.
Yeah, this is only his second year.
But he's coached for 5 years.
Yeah, but he had LeBron. He missed 40% of the season. You
Understood.
Know what I mean?
Coach around it. Make the playoffs, dude. Let us see him win the championship.
Yeah.
Listen,
I'm just looking at this roster, and I'm just like, Marvin Bagley.
I don't love Bagley. Heald's a shooter. I love Fox.
Yeah.
Listen, I get
Harry Giles.
Giles, yeah, don't forget about Giles.
Yeah, right. Yogi Ferrell. Darren Fox is the only guy that I look at. I'm like, that guy could be a player.
Oh, he already is.
You know what I mean?
Star.
Harrison Barnes is past it. Seems like he's only 7 years in.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield has his one trick pony. It's not a great roster.
I'm not saying it's great, but I'm just saying that I have not seen evidence from Luke Walton for me to elevate him into a game changing.
Yeah, like Kenny Atkinson did with the Nets.
I'm just latching on to the wording that's in front of me. Yes, he's viable. Game-changing? No, I don't see this profound greatness and this incredible innovation when I watch Luke Walton's teams. I don't. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
We're actually inbounds pertaining to the way it's framed.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yesterday we discussed Trevor Bauer being tabbed. We both talked about this. We both loved that he was getting a rock on 3 days rest, right?
And he crushed it.
He did. I was texting Tiki. Oh, I got to tell everybody else what I texted you when I first turned on the TV. I'll tell you. I'll bring that up later. That was funny. I was texting Teak, though, when I saw Bauer's stat line. He was dominant. And last night he took the mound, short rest. He just breezed through the Brewers. One run, four hits. He whiffed 12, eight frames. After the game, Bauer was not surprised by his performance and said he's expecting a little hardware after the season.
I don't have anything to prove to myself, but all you guys in the media worrying about me going on short rest, I tell you guys, I don't speak from just a feeling like I can do this. I know, like I said, I don't have anything to prove to myself. So hopefully you guys can back off on that storyline now.
Trevor, do you feel like you have cemented yourself as the Cy Young winner?
I don't see how you can see it any other way.
There you go.
Damn.
There you go. Hook it up. Send it to Cincy. Care of Trevor Bauer. So here's the question. Do we agree with that from Bauer? Is he the NL Cy Young winner right now?
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, he is. His ERA is second in the majors right now at, what is it, 173 or so. I think Bieber's number one, Shane Bieber at 163. So, yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, I think he's done enough. This team is competing. They are right there. They're going to be in the postseason. And I love his moxie, man. He's got a couple shutouts on the year, which means he can go deep. The numbers add up. So I'm going to say, yeah, inbounds.
The answer is definitely for me inbounds. There's no doubt. You know, DeGrom is close, but DeGrom's streak is going to end. He's not going to win it this year, nor should he.
Mm-mm.
So Bauer is number one of the NL. He's got the best ERA, 1.73.
Yep.
He's the first so far and the only pitcher thus far to reach 100 strikeouts. Okay. Nice number on a short season.
Yeah, dude.
His whip is second in the NL, and he's tied for first in quality starts, and he may have just delivered a playoff berth last night against a pretty good team. So, yeah, I believe he locked it up last night. There's some stiff competition. Kid from the Braves, obviously. I mentioned DeGrom. I don't think he's going to win this running away. I think he's going to be very tight. But yes, I do believe he should, and I do believe that he will.
Yeah, you hit that strikeout number. That says a lot, man.
It's a nice number. Yeah, big sure. Number.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, Tiki, I was going to try to squeeze this in, but I'd rather throw this a little deeper into the show and actually have a real conversation about this. This was on the Inbounds, Out of Bounds menu. Obviously, you know, those who follow the sport, you know that Covington's been flapping his gums. He's been saying a lot of things. Tyrone Woodley was involved there.
Yeah.
He brought in Black Lives Matters. There's a lot of quotes and words mm-hmm. attributed to Covington that I want to certainly talk about, but more directly, the role or the acceptance from Dana White, who refuses to stop Covington.
Yeah.
Is it reckless? Is it good for business? I think there's a conversation there. You want to do that coming up around 5 Eastern?
Yeah, we should talk about that a little bit later because it's a dangerous game that it seems like is being bantered around here. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll talk about that later. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, he's using the word terrorist. He's using the word criminals. He went in on Usman, who said he hates America.
Yep.
I took a shot at. It's ugly. I mean, the words are. It's pretty dark stuff. All right, coming up, Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer, the boys off there 0-2. The pitchforks would be out. Emmitt's in the house next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.